Tonight, Firestorm, the new threat from a huge wildfire, the third largest ever in California, fanned by powerful winds, now threatening more homes and forcing thousands of new evacuations. Outbreak. It was supposed to be a fun vacation on the water until hundreds got sick from the norovirus. Separate outbreaks affecting hundreds more. Death of a billionaire and his wife found in the basement of their mansion. Police say the circumstances appear suspicious. UFO program revealed. The Pentagon's secret program to analyze unidentified flying objects, including mysterious sightings by fighter jet pilots in the sky. And Santa's workshop. Come with us to a place where magic is made by a man who almost never stops thinking about Christmas.
This is NBC Nightly News with Jose Diaz-Balart.
Good evening. Tonight, an enormous and extremely dangerous wildfire is moving toward heavily populated neighborhoods in Southern California. It's a fire that has been burning for almost 2 weeks and is still only 40% contained. Today, the rapidly moving flames prompted new evacuation orders as more than 93,000 residents are still unable to go home. This fire is already the third largest in California history, and it shows no signs of weakening. Steve Patterson is on the front lines in Santa Barbara.
A relentless and behemoth blaze, the Thomas Fire forced thousands of new evacuations today in Santa Barbara and Ventura counties. Strong winds pushing flames toward mansions in Montecito. The wildfire has been raging since December 4th, killing two and burning down more than 1,000 homes and buildings.
It's continually shifting on us, so it's making it very, very dangerous for firefighters to get in here and do their job. Basically, you know, this fire's been burning for 2 weeks, but this is like a whole new fire.
When we woke up this morning and looked out the window, we saw basically the hills right above our house on fire.
18,000 structures are still in jeopardy. Schools have been shut down for weeks. So far, it's caused more than $100 million in damages.
I think it has a huge effect on the local economy. It's tough, but we're all in the same boat. We just have to still keep plugging through.
Part of the reason why, the hazardous air quality. Thick smoke is making it hard to breathe on a record 13th day of red flag conditions. Meanwhile, this week, a somber ceremony for fire engineer Corey Iverson. The 32-year-old leaves behind his pregnant wife and their 2-year-old daughter. Firefighters remembering one of their own lost in a battle that's still far from over.
And the winds are now really starting to pick up. You can see the smoke completely covering the hillside behind me. This fire, now 259,000 acres, forced 3,300 evacuations today. Tonight, firefighters worried about even stronger winds, which could send more flames marching toward more homes. Jose?
Steve Patterson, thank you very much. More than 500 people got sick this week in several outbreaks of the highly contagious norovirus, with the biggest on a Royal Caribbean cruise ship. Maya Rodriguez has the details.
The Independence of the Seas set sail once again tonight, hours after returning to its home port in Florida. At least 332 passengers treated by ship's doctors after contracting norovirus.
I mean, there was people just like throwing up in the bathrooms, throwing up in the elevators, just throwing up everywhere.
According to the CDC, norovirus spreads like wildfire, especially in places where people work and live in close quarters, like a cruise ship. Symptoms include diarrhea, nausea, and stomach pains. Near Pensacola, Florida this week, more than 100 norovirus cases at the headquarters of the Air Force's 1st Special Operations Wing, leading to canceled events. In Seattle, health officials suspect norovirus hit 15 people who ate at a local restaurant and affected 14 of its employees. And in Eureka, California, more norovirus. Three schools there closing a week early for the holidays after more than 130 students got sick. Back on the Independence of the Seas, Royal Caribbean says it conducted intensive cleaning procedures on the ship after the outbreak. For passengers heading out, it was a vacation, not a virus, on their minds.
We brought a little bit of extra stuff just in case to wipe down our room.
It's concerning. Yeah, the norovirus is a bad germ. That's not good.
There is no vaccine for norovirus, which is why prevention is key. That means washing your hands and any fruits or vegetables and cleaning any surfaces you might touch. Maya Rodriguez, NBC News, Port Everglades, Florida.
Some scary moments today at a ski resort in central Pennsylvania. A malfunction caused five chairs to come pinned together and the entire lift was stuck. Several injuries were reported and emergency crews had to lower people with ropes. It was the first day of the season at the resort. With votes on the Republican tax bill planned for early next week, President Trump offered new praise for the bill today as he anticipated his first big legislative victory. NBC's Kelly O'Donnell has more tonight.
An eager defense of the $1.5 trillion tax cut bill as the president headed to Camp David today.
Mr. President, many Americans believe that the tax cuts will benefit the wealthy more than the middle class.
No, this really will mostly benefit the middle class and jobs. Companies are coming in, they're pouring into the country, they've already started, and this will be great for jobs.
Jobs is White House code for helping middle-class families. Even with unemployment at a 14-year low, the wages are stagnant. Under the GOP tax cut plan, a family of four with an income of $73,000 could save roughly $2,000. The standard deduction most tax filers claim would double. The child tax credit also goes up. For parents, those 529 college plans would expand to include tuition saving for K through 12th grade. Answering the bill's critics today, the president played Santa.
The wealthy. This is going to be one of the great gifts to the middle-income people of this country that they've ever gotten for Christmas.
Wealthy families and corporations could see the biggest gains. The corporate tax rate drops to 21%. The estate tax exemption would allow couples to pass on twice as much, $22 million, with no inheritance tax. The alternative minimum tax, intended to prevent overuse of loopholes, would kick in at a higher level, $1 million for couples. But the AMT ends completely for businesses. Political analysts say public reaction has been wary.
I think the American people have already sized this thing up to realize that they're not going to be the direct beneficiaries of any tax reform, but rather very large special corporate interests are.
The president could be just days from signing into law his first major piece of legislation. The House is scheduled to vote Tuesday and then the Senate, and Republicans appear to have enough votes. Jose?
Kelly, I read a report today that the Trump administration is telling its own officials not to use certain politically charged words. What's that about?
Seven forbidden words or terms. This was first reported by the Washington Post, and it involves the Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta, where policy analysts say they were told Thursday that certain words could not be used in official documents for the government's budget process. Now, those words are vulnerable, entitlement, diversity, transgender, fetus, and the phrases evidence-based and science-based. While those words can be involved in hot-button issues, no reason was given. The president's budget is due in February, and it's always meant to convey policy priorities. Now, tonight, the White House deferred to the Department of Health and Human Services, where a spokesman said the notion of banned words is a mischaracterization and said the department will use outcome and evidence data for its budget decisions. Jose?
Kelly O'Donnell, thank you. Shortly after he was elected last year, President Trump praised Carrier Corporation for keeping jobs at a furnace factory in Indiana after criticizing the company for planning to cut about 1,400 positions. But in the year since, the president's support among some rank-and-file union members has softened. NBC's Ron Mott explains.
It's a gray cloud every day.
Next month, Dwayne Orozkovich is set to be laid off at Carrier, the company Donald Trump hailed for saving jobs once destined for Mexico.
Companies are not going to leave the United States anymore without consequences.
But a year after his election, this Trump voter feels the president hasn't done enough.
Does he still win your support at this point as president?
No, not at all. He's a negative right now.
He's one of more than 500 people whose jobs at this Indianapolis plant have headed south of the border, though Carrier has promised to keep 1,100 workers employed in the state after getting a $7 million incentive package from the state. In a Washington Post editorial, former United Steelworkers local leader Chuck Jones wrote, "We feel betrayed," adding, "Trump continues to lie about his commitment to saving jobs at Carrier or anywhere else, and workers are taking note."
He made promises to the American workers if he was president, he would keep these jobs here in this country. And we have seen nothing to indicate at all that he's remotely trying to do that.
Jobs data indicate something more positive. This year, an average of 16,000 manufacturing jobs were added each month, an improvement over the 9,000 average seen in the prior 5 years. Still, thanks to Mr. Trump's promises during the campaign,
we need a leader that can bring back our jobs, can bring back our manufacturing. My trade reforms will create a manufacturing revival in America.
We're going to bring jobs back, big league.
Some feel he has overpromised and underdelivered. Rexnord, despite barbs from Canada Trump, closed its facility here, transferring operations to Mexico. Brian Reed spent 25 years there, and though he didn't vote for the president, he says a lot of his affected co-workers did. He's still looking for work.
We're getting ready to lose our livelihoods. This guy threw you a lifeline, everybody jumped on it, and he never pulled you in.
Blue-collar blues in a place the president relied on for victory. Ron Mott, NBC News, Indianapolis.
It has been more than 3 months since Hurricane Harvey battered South Texas, and for many of those whose homes were destroyed or damaged, there is still a great deal of work to be done and a good deal of frustration. NBC's Tanya Leitner went back to the region for an update.
He's right there. He's behind
It's chaos in the Harding family house. For the last 3 months, Eric, Glenna, their seven kids, have been crammed into their second floor ever since Hurricane Harvey flooded their suburban Houston neighborhood.
This is living room, bedroom, kitchen, dining room.
Wow. You may remember Eric Harding because of this viral video. The pastor says he simply wanted to show his 13-year-old son the piano he loves so much still worked.
It kind of became this little piece of hope, you know, for some reason.
Nearly 900,000 Texans were affected by the storm. For many, recovery has been painfully slow.
Right now, we're in that initial recovery phase. Is it going as fast as any of us would like? No, not really.
FEMA says part of the challenge is the massive scale of damage, which stretches roughly 41,000 square miles, an area larger than the state of Maine.
But we are making progress each and every day.
A recent survey found that nearly half of affected residents say they aren't getting the help they need.
We did have enough for a deposit for the place. We had enough to get us a car. We got a couple of TVs, a bedroom set. That was about it. That's as far as FEMA money took us.
Damiqua Singleton's Port Arthur home was a total loss. The family had to be airlifted out one by one.
Imagine not knowing where you're going to go.
The Singletons left Port Arthur and are now renting an apartment in Austin.
We left Port Arthur, that was it. I think I went back twice and it's still just a mess. It's still nasty. I got sick the last time I went back. I would never go back to start over there.
For the Hardings, even though it can get a little crowded, they're grateful to be together and home for the holidays. Tammy Leitner, NBC News, Friendswood, Texas.
Gun buyback programs are a common way the police try to reduce violence and get guns off the streets, right? But what's less common is the kind of weapon that turned up today to buy back in San Francisco.
For the boy 120 for that.
A bazooka was one of the more than 140 weapons that turned in the first 90 minutes of today's event. As with all the weapons turned over today, no questions asked. There is word tonight of a secret Pentagon program that investigated reports of UFOs, unidentified flying objects. Some of them were observed and recorded by military aircraft. The program was started in 2007, and the Pentagon says it ended 5 years later, although the New York Times reports that officials continue to investigate sightings brought to their attention by service members. And still ahead tonight, what's behind another mysterious object flying through our solar system? Some wonder if it's a rock or a rocket. Also, the suspicious deaths of a billionaire executive and his wife, their bodies found in the mansion they had put up for sale. They were one of Canada's most prominent couples, a billionaire businessman and philanthropist, and his wife, so well known that even Canada's prime minister publicly expressed condolences today over their deaths. But just how did they die and why? Morgan Radford has the story.
Two of Canada's wealthiest residents found dead in their multi-million-dollar Toronto mansion. 75-year-old Barry Sherman, the billionaire chairman of generic drug giant Apotex, and his wife Honey, rolled out on stretchers after local reports cite police sources that a real estate agent found their bodies mysteriously hanging from a railing on the edge of their indoor swimming pool.
We've discovered two bodies of people inside a home here. The circumstances of their death appear suspicious.
Described as a lovely couple, the Shermans were known for their generous philanthropy and community involvement.
I mean, they've had a fundraiser for Justin Trudeau. They've had marvelous events. Just they're the pride of the neighborhood.
From the prime minister to Canadian senators, condolences came pouring in. Today, I am gutted by the loss of Honey and Barry Sherman. Our community is steeped in grief. I am heartbroken. But while the couple was praised, Barry Sherman did face multiple lawsuits. Among them, a decade-long battle with a group of cousins who felt cut out of the Sherman business, casting further mystery on the couple's death.
This is just a suspicious death. We are only investigating that as such right now.
Tonight, their children saying in a statement, "We urge the Toronto Police Service to conduct a thorough, intensive, and objective criminal investigation. An investigation yielding more questions than answers." Morgan Radford, NBC News, New York.
We are back in a moment with a close encounter that's raising questions about signs of life in a galaxy far, far away. We are back with a mystery that is out of this world. Astronomers have just found an odd-shaped object visiting our solar system from a distant star. By most scientific accounts, it's nothing more than an interstellar asteroid, you know, a big space rock. But that hasn't stopped many from asking, could it be something more? Here's NBC's Tom Costello.
This weekend, as the new installment of Star Wars rockets to a theater near you, something else born a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away has also arrived in our solar system. This interstellar interloper about the size of the Rose Bowl, or maybe the Starship Enterprise.
Very strangely shaped, and it comes from another star. And that's what has everybody looking at it with every telescope they can find.
And that odd oblong shape has some here on Earth wondering, is it a rock or a rocket?
Anytime we see something that is really outside of the range of observations of what we've seen in the past, it's not unnatural to speculate that something like this could be artificial.
But so far, scientists listening with these big antennae say they aren't detecting any unusual signals. No alien voices, at least not that they recognize.
It has been traveling through interstellar space for hundreds of millions of years, billions of years.
Aerodynamic, a quarter mile long, 130 feet across, and shaped like a cigar, likely from a constellation 25 light years away, speeding past our planet at nearly 200,000 miles an hour before anybody on Earth spotted it with a telescope above the clouds in Hawaii, where astronomers named the asteroid Oumuamua, Hawaiian for a messenger from afar arriving first.
There's still quite a bit to learn about this interstellar object and limited time because it's on its way out of the solar system.
Now, some are wondering whether this close encounter may be a sign of life from somewhere out there. And if so, should we consider our own message?
Just come and see us. We are very friendly peoples.
I would just probably call the president and be like, you gotta take care of this.
So far, no need. Oumuamua is already cruising past Jupiter. Tom Costello, NBC News, down here on planet Earth.
When we come back, inside a real Santa's workshop, you will not want to miss. Finally tonight, you know those Christmas displays you see in store windows? Ever wonder who conceives them and makes them? Well, we found a man who does just that kind of a thing, a master at creating Christmas and other mechanical displays. And Thompson got a look inside his workshop.
In a working class area of Brooklyn, next to the body shop, inside this nondescript building, magic.
Wow.
And where are we going?
We're going to my world.
Wow. It can be overwhelming.
Oh my God. Know where to look.
So much to see and hear and take in.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
All from the opera-inspired imagination of Lou Nasty.
Are you a romantic at heart?
Oh yeah, I'm Italian.
Yeah,
I'm Italian, I'm Sicilian, and I'm from Brooklyn, and I got a name like Lou Nasty. And I'm Geppetto at the same time.
Like Pinocchio's creator, he makes inanimate objects come to life. but with more than a wish.
I look at all of this and I think it's part NASA.
Yeah, a little bit.
And a little Frankenstein.
Yeah, and a little Lou Nasty.
And a little lot of Lou Nasty.
He is Santa's ultimate helper, working on Christmas nearly all year round.
5 o'clock in the morning, I'm here, and I stay every day until 5 o'clock, except Sunday. Sunday, I leave a little early. I get home about 1 o'clock, or it's called divorce. So I definitely try to leave a little time for my family.
50 years ago, Lou gained fame when he built a robot that landed him on the front page of the New York Times. Now, from retail to royalty, fans have sought Nasty's services around the globe.
He's a magician. Like, there's no other way to describe him.
Lou's displays have lit up Joe DiMartino's home for the last 5 years.
Wow, that's new.
A tribute to Joe's wife, Deborah Ann, who died on 9/11.
Every year we raise money in there in Debbie's honor, and it all goes to the hospital every year.
How do I know a Lou Nasty animatronics display?
It'll make you laugh, make you smile, I promise.
And give life to the spirit of the season. Ann Thompson, NBC News, Brooklyn.
And that is Nightly News for this Saturday. I'm Jose Diaz-Balart, reporting from New York. Thank you for the privilege of your time. We leave you tonight with the scene at Arlington National Cemetery, where more than 240,000 wreaths were placed today, part of the annual Wreaths Across America event, remembering those who serve this holiday season.